ER-101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back. We are having a great discussion with Dr. Bridget McCaughan, expert on domestic violence, intimate partner violence, because the U.S. Preventive Service Task Force has made a great recommendation that women need to be universally screened and offered services. And we were discussing before how, you know, it can happen to anyone, and women think that it's only happening to them, and they just don't know what to do, because really, literally, every single facet of their life, it's a power and control issue. It's not just about the violence, right? And so every facet of their life is controlled by their partner who is hurting them in some way. But so for outside people, you know, when we see people go back to these relationships, it can be frustrating. In the beginning, for me as a healthcare provider and working on these with these advocacy groups, it was frustrating to see these women go back. But yet they know that leaving is the most dangerous time, and they have to do it in their own time and be empowered, because the power is taken away from them. So the key is to empower them. But women do get away, isn't it true?
You know, it's true, and I think one of the important points I try to make when I'm training clinicians is that the literature is pretty clear. The majority of women who are in abusive relationships ultimately end those abusive relationships. Now, they don't do it the first time, and often there's a period of really understanding that the relationship is abusive. And people don't choose bad partners. They choose people who, you know, that they love or are attracted to. And usually this pattern of control or physical abuse occurs over time. And if there are children involved and so forth, or if there is financial dependence, there are a lot of reasons why, even when they begin to realize, uh-oh, this is dangerous, and even though he says, I'm sorry, it won't happen again, it is happening again. There are many reasons why it's difficult to end the relationships and get the help that's necessary to make that possible. But it's important to know that women do, and that the majority of women do not have other relationships that are abusive. So this is, I think, important that we know that our what we do as friends, what we do as clinicians, what we do as advocates can have a huge difference.
Yeah, no, and it's so true. You know, so many women that I've talked to, and I also sometimes lecture with younger, you know, I mean, we had that famous Yeardley case here in Baltimore, where that wonderful student athlete was killed at University of Virginia. And, you know, so it can start especially early on, and it's important for young women to know what's a healthy relationship and what's not. And it starts out slowly. Almost every woman I've talked to that's been in that relationship has said to me, well, they were so attentive, and so, you know, so that's how, I don't want to say women can be lured in, but the relationship starts out with someone who seems very caring, but then they have this control issue, and the caring spreads beyond just caring to, you know, controlling, and that's how that slowly happens. And a lot of women, you know, they want the abuse to end, and sometimes not the relationship, or they need the right time to get out of it. I mean, and it's true, we hear in the news about the worst cases make the news all the time. With the deaths and murders, but a lot of great programs like yours and around the country have helped women get out. So what can you tell women that might be some red flags in a relationship that they, you know, maybe a little bit earlier on before they get so entrapped or snared that they can think about?
Well, I think sometimes it's very difficult to sort out what is a person who really loves you and is interested, and when jealousy that might come from that is actually a warning sign. And I would say someone who's jealous, someone who feels that they constantly need to know where the person is. That can be constant texting. It can be constant phone calls. Someone who begins to narrow the social connections that you have, says, you know, I don't like those friends, I don't want you to see them, I don't want you to talk with your family, where there are sort of chronic put-downs and little humiliations that seem like, oh, well, maybe that's just funny, you can't take a joke. those are some red flags that come to my mind, the constant monitoring, things that look like caring but are actually pretty excessive jealousy, and then social isolation.
Yeah, and those are some red flags early on. And sometimes, you know, you can't always catch it early on. But I think women that have gotten out of these relationships, they're very attuned to it when they enter new relationships. So it is important to talk about that. And especially, you know, with young women or adolescents starting dating, those are the signs of maybe an unhealthy relationship that we should talk about and people should be aware of, because, you know, for them it's all new, and, you know, especially in that age group too. Extremes are so prevalent in that age group as it is. So,
you know, I think that's a really important point to make. If you look at TV and movies and so forth, if you just thought about relationships from what you see, there's a lot of drama that appears to be part of relationships. And I think people who are first starting their romantic life can think that if your relationship doesn't have a lot of drama and jealousy and ups and downs, that there's something wrong or that that's normal. And actually, caring, loving, respectful relationships should leave you feeling good about yourself, not right. Like you're in the middle of a roller coaster all the time. And again, I think that's a sort of warning sign that I recommend that teens and young adults be aware of, that is, it may be on TV and movies and it may be interesting entertainment, but that's not real life.
Right, and that's why it's important to sort of get these messages out and talk about it. And the fact of this universal screening to say that it could happen to anyone, I mean, people really have to realize it could happen to anyone. And that's why in a non-judgmental way, you know, we have to ask women about this. But the other part of this recommendation is also letting them know what are the resources available to them. So what do you tell people, or where do you point people for resources? Just to say, because when I screen everyone, I say, you know what, it's very common. It happens to so many women and even men today. So there are resources there. And, you know, we have places in Maryland and there's national hotlines. But what do you tell people about where they can go or talk to when the time's right?
Well, I think I would just support exactly what you do. When I ask the question and the person says no, and I say, well, I'm glad that that's the case, but, you know, if that ever changes, I want you to know that I'm here for you to talk about whatever issues are important in your life. And if you or a friend are experiencing domestic violence, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is a place that you can call. In our clinics, we have written materials that people can pick up and take with them. And we actually have an external website that's www.kp.org and then / all one word domestic violence. And on that external website, there are resource information for teens, for adults. And we have a whole set of stories that have been contributed by our employees who had the courage and resilience to end the relationships. And they tell in their short stories how that happened and who was valuable. So, you know, family, friends, doctors, advocates, there are resources and support for people to get the next set of information they need to get safer.
Yeah, and the key is power. You need to be able to take the power back, and that's what's so important, and that's why, you know, we respect women, and when it's right for them to make that next step, they sort of have to make that next step themselves, because, as we said, the key is bringing the power back to them, and there are many tragedies, but there are many successful stories too. Well, I want to thank my guest, and hats off to the USPSTF for making such a great recommendation.